නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස
Good morning everyone. So today we are going to discuss about a new topic directly related to our vipassana practice and also to understand the deep aspects of Theravada Buddhism. The knowledge we gain through this lecture would directly facilitate our vipassana and also assist to have deeper knowledge when we go into certain aspects of Theravada teachings. So the topic would be, I have given the handout, the three types of universal characteristics related to Paramattha Dhammas. So I'm just talking about the characteristics related to Paramattha Dhammas. Three universal characteristics. So when we say universal, they are common to all the conditioned realities. So if you remember in the chart from on this side, on the left side of the chart, we had conditioned reality. So these conditioned realities share certain common features. So these features are called the universal characteristics. Why they are called universal? Because they are common to all the conditioned realities. Out of these three, one is also shared or common to the unconditioned realities, which is the non-self quality. Because now we know the three universal characteristics are the impermanence, nature of bringing suffering, and also the non-selfness. These are the three universal characteristics. So out of the three, the non-selfness is also common or can be found in the nirvana. Also, because nirvana is not a self. So anything that is not a self can be termed as non-self. So then during the lecture we have to differentiate the differences or differences between several terms. Now we know the word anicca, and also we talk about the word called anicca lakkhana. So normally anicca is an adjective, we call the impermanent. And the anicca lakkhana is the impermanence, which is a noun. So when we in English, when we say impermanent and impermanence, we know that is actually two different meanings. Impermanent means an attribute of a thing, something which is impermanent, something that would vanish one day or get destroyed. Impermanence is a phenomenon, or it's a nature, it's an abstract noun, which indicates the nature of getting destructed. It doesn't specifically aim at a one thing or a reality. It is just a common characteristic or common nature, maybe of the world or of the conditioned things. So likewise, we should be able to differentiate the differences of these terms. During this lecture, we'd also focus on that, and also some common ideas prevailing among Buddhists. Then we normally say in a world in which everything changes, it's only impermanence that doesn't change. So likewise, in other languages they would say in the anicca world, anicca is the only thing that is nicca, something like that. So these, how do we analyze these sentences? And because they are not very accurately mentioned, so we need to clarify such statements and see how in Theravada teachings these terminologies has to be used. So today if you remember the chart, this was the Paramattha chart. I'm not going to draw everything, just to show, because you have driven it many times. Sankata Paramattha. Then we have Asankata Paramattha, unconditioned. Asankata Paramattha had five nirvanas. Then we had, in the Sankata Paramattha side, we had Paramattha, Dhamma, then Upadino, Dhamma, Paramatta Jatika. Anuppanna Dhamma. So our focus will be today on these actually. But these are also potentials. So we don't need to, we normally don't differentiate them as separate realities. They are the potentials, potentials of certain aspects of Paramattha Dhamma. So, but we are, we'll be focusing more on this. Then, here we had a broken line. Then here we have the concepts. Sorry. Panyati. Now we had two types of panyati, and also specifically there's another extra type. Then here, we already discussed about Anippanna Rupa. Certain material attributes related to the Rupa. They cannot be specifically concretely mentioned as Rupa. Then we have Sam Ekacche Pacche Satti. It's better to say Ekaccha Pacche Satti because of the Pali grammar. Then Tilakkana. Tilakkana, the three universal characteristics. So today our topic will be this. Then we have, next week we should talk about Gati, and then Ajatakasa, then Kala. Kala is it's not here, it should be come here actually. Right, so Tilakkana is the three universal characteristics related to the Sankata Paramatta. So we are focusing on these two actually. The three attributes, natures, characteristics related to these realities. Some, if someone asks, are they not impermanent and so forth? We should know that they are the potentials of these ultimate realities. So in Theravada tradition, we do not differentiate them as separate realities. I think we discussed about this in detail. But whatever characteristic or whatever attribute given to these realities should also be applied to them. So how they are conditioned, how they are related to the time, we already discussed on these matters. Now, the topic would be Tilakkana. Tilakkana means three universal characteristics. We all know as Buddhists that there are three characteristics, common characteristics to all the conditioned realities. Condition means realities that are produced by certain causes. They cannot depend on themselves. They cannot just exist by themselves. They have to have the support of other realities to arise and also to exist in generations. So these realities which need the support of other realities have three universal features, characteristics. They are anicca, lakkhana, dukkha lakkhana and anatta lakkhana. Anicca lakkhana, dukkha lakkhana and anatta lakkhana. The impermanence, the nature of begetting or causing suffering, and then the non-selfness. I'm not going to explain in detail what these characteristics are, because when we want to study about the impermanence, we have to study it in four aspects. The anicca, anicca lakkhana, anicchanupassi, anicchanupassana. Normally all these characteristics has to be studied in four aspects. Anicca is the impermanent, anicca lakkhana is the impermanence, anicchanupassi is the one who contemplates about this impermanence, lead his meditation based on the anicca lakkhana, the impermanence quality. Then the anicchanupassana, the contemplation which focuses to understand the impermanence of the realities. The same way, dukkha lakkhana, dukkha, dukkha lakkhana, dukkhanupassi, dukkhanupassana. The nature of begetting suffering, the realities that beget suffering, then the one who focuses on this as phenomenon or the realities as suffering, and then the contemplation on suffering. Then related to anatta, even we have anatta, anatta lakkhana, anatta anupassana, passi, anatta anupassana. The nature of the realities which have the which are non-self, the realities which are non-self, the nature, the phenomenon of non-selfness, that nature, that quality. Then the one who contemplates on this phenomenon or the consider realities as non-self, and the anatta anupassana, the contemplation of considering realities as non-self. So then each and every, now when we think about the anicca lakkhana, the characteristic of impermanence, we can explain it in 6 ways basically. Then when we come into the advanced meditation, we explain it in 10 ways. So likewise, these characteristics can be explained in diverse, at the same time, extensive manners. So, but today I'll be just focusing on these 3 characteristics in common. How do we think about them? What is the difference? Why didn't they come into this chart, but why they were placed in between Paramatta and Panyati? So that is the main focus of this lecture, not to explain all the 3 characteristics in detail, because it would take, like, for every characteristic we would need to take a few days to explain this phenomenon. Now, so the 1.100, what I have given is, there are 3 characteristics common to all conditioned realities. They are called universal characteristics related to the conditioned realities. We, in Pali, we call the word Samanya Lakkhana. Samanya Lakkhana. Samanya Lakkhana means the universal characteristics. They are phenomenon rather than realities. They are as below. So the terms that I'll be focusing today is Anicca Lakkhana. Dukkha Lakkhana. And Anatta Lakkhana. Right, Anicca Lakkhana, Dukkha Lakkhana, and Anatta Lakkhana. So, at the end of the lecture, we should be able to differentiate Anicca Lakkhana from Anicca. They are not same, they are not the equal. Then Dukkha Lakkhana from Dukkha. Anatta Lakkhana from Anatta. This is the purpose of this lecture, to show the differences of these terminologies. So then we'll understand why the Tilakkhana came into this group, not into the chart of the ultimacy. So first we need to know that the characteristics, if you remember, we mentioned it many times that in terms of ultimacy, according to Theravada tradition, a reality is equal to its characteristic. For instance, Patavi is hardness. Patavi has the characteristic of hardness. But hardness itself is Patavi, and Patavi itself is hardness. There is no duality in these terminologies. So though we say Patavi's characteristic of Patavi is hardness, that is for the easy conveying of the meaning. But in reality, Patavi itself is hardness, and hardness itself is Patavi. So when we talk about the intrinsic characteristic, intrinsic nature, or the intrinsic characteristic, then the reality and the characteristic are identical. So this is for the, we call it the Sabhava Lakkhana, Samanya Lakkhana and Sabhava Lakkhana. Samanya Lakkhana means universal characteristics. Sabhava Lakkhana means the reality itself, the characteristic of the reality. We call it Sabhava Lakkhana. When you say Sabhava Lakkhana, the reality, reality is equal to its intrinsic nature. They are identical. We can say completely similar in all the manners. For instance, when we say Patavi, Patavi is a reality. It's hard, its characteristic is hardness. So this is identical in all the manners. There is no difference in them. Patavi is equal to hardness. Hardness is equal to Patavi. So when we say Vedana, the act of feeling, act of tasting, the flavor of an object. This, its characteristic. So they are identical. There is no difference at all. But when it comes to the Samanya Lakkhana, we know Patavi's hardness. At the same time, Patavi is impermanent. Patavi has the nature of vanishing, getting destroyed or disappearing. So the impermanent, the Samanya Lakkhana is not equal to the reality. The Sabhava Lakkhana, the intrinsic nature and the reality are identical. But the realities do possess these universal characteristics. Your realities have these universal characteristics. That's why you mentioned the universal characteristics related to the conditioned realities. Though they are related, they are not identical. That's the difference. I'll repeat again. The intrinsic nature, like hardness of Patavi, the act of tasting the flavor of an object of Vedana, the cognition of Chitta, these are intrinsic qualities. These intrinsic characteristics are identical with the reality. But when it comes to the universal characteristics, Samanya Lakkhana, the universal characteristic and the reality are not identical, right? So, for instance, when we say Patavi has the Anicca Lakkhana, Patavi, they are not identical. They are completely different from each other. But when it comes to the intrinsic quality, Patavi and hardness are equal. For example, if we say this, hardness. Hardness is the Sabhava Lakkhana. If this is the reality, in center, it's the reality. So, Anicca Lakkhana, the nature of impermanence. So, first we need to explain this. What is this Anicca Lakkhana? It's a phenomenon. It's not, we are not talking about realities here. So, if you go to the handout, 1.100.1, Anicca Lakkhana. The nature of a conditioned reality to vanish having arisen. A conditioned reality arises, it was not there before, and it vanishes, it passes away. We normally drew it like, it was not there, it arose, it was not there, and it passes away and vanishes. So before arising, it was not there, after arising is no more, during its existence, it is found. So if we consider this as Patavi, hardness. Patavi was not there before its arising. And it is no more after it has got vanished. So a reality which was not existing earlier arose, passed away completely without any leaving any remnant. So what happens here, Anicca Lakkhana, which is the impermanence, impermanence means the phenomenon the Patavi undergoes. It means Patavi was not there, it suddenly appeared because of causes. There should be the causes. Causes should be there. It cannot happen by themselves. Right? Because of causes, Patavi arose and completely vanished. So this is something which happens to Patavi. We are not talking about Patavi itself. When we say Patavi is hardness, we are explaining about the nature of the Patavi. We are explaining the actual body of Patavi. So the Patavi itself is hardness. Hardness itself is Patavi. There is no duality or difference in these two terms. But when we say Patavi arose and passed away, the nature of arising and nature of passing away due to the nature of arising due to causes and passing away without leaving any remnant. This is something which happens to Patavi. It's a phenomenon which Patavi undergoes. So therefore, the nature of impermanence, that what is the nature of impermanence? The nature of a conditioned reality to vanish having arose, having arisen. It completely vanishes having arisen. It was not there anymore before, and it's no more there after its vanishing. So this phenomenon is called the Anicca Lakkhana. Anicca Lakkhana is not identical with Patavi. For example, if you think about a child is born, a child gets born from mother's womb. Now think about the birth of the child and the child. We can actually point out this is the child because we know it has some limbs and it has a life, it has a body, it has a mind. So it's a living thing. So we can actually grab it or specifically show this is the child. But think about the incident of birth of a child. Birth means coming out from the mother's womb. It is an incident related to the child, but not the child. Birth of the child and child are not the same thing. Child is it is an entity. Birth of a child means the incident in which the child comes out from the mother's womb without dying. So therefore, the birth of the child and the child, as the birth of the child and the child are completely two different things. Likewise, the patavi and this phenomenon of impermanence are not the same. It's also evident that we cannot talk about a birth of a child without a child, because if there was no child, we cannot talk about a birth of a child. So likewise, if there are no conditioned realities, we cannot talk about the phenomenon of impermanence. Impermanence means a conditioned reality not having existed before, suddenly comes up due to causes and then vanishes completely without leaving any remnant. So this incident, this phenomenon is called the impermanence according to the Theravada teachings. So we use the word phenomenon. For that we need to see the difference of the two terms, Dhamma and Dhammatha. Dhamma, what we here say is the realities, the entities. Sometimes we use the word for Panyati also, but here we are focusing on realities, entities. An entity which is non-self is called Dhamma, which bears its own intrinsic quality is called Dhamma. Attano sabhavan dhareti. Dhammatha means the natures of these realities. Natures, certain phenomenon related to these realities, Dhammatha. Without Dhamma, we cannot have Dhammatha, because Dhammatha means the phenomenon or phenomena, in plural, phenomena, which these Dhammas undergo. So likewise, the nature of impermanence, the impermanence is not a reality. Patavi itself is a reality. The nature of impermanence is a phenomenon. It's not a reality. It is something related to the reality, but not the reality. That is the very basic knowledge that we have to have in studying these realities. So, sabhava lakkhana means the quality, the reality itself. But when it comes to the samanya lakkhana, they are not equal. It is true that we cannot find samanya lakkhana, this impermanence, without the realities. But still, they are not the same. The analogy is child and a birth of a child. Child and birth of a child, birth and child are two different things. But we cannot have a birth of a child or a birth without a being, without a living being. So always the birth is related with the living being. It is connected to the living being, but it's not the living being. It is something that happens to the living being, coming out from an egg or coming out from a mother's, from the mother's womb. So likewise, these anicca lakkhana, though they are related to the realities, they are not the reality. Then we come into the second universal characteristic, dukkha lakkhana, nature of bringing or causing, it's better to say causing or begetting, suffering, mental and physical suffering. So as long as there is patavi, it causes lots of hardship. We have to maintain it. We have to work for it. We have to, for instance, if you want to have a patavi of a divine being, we have to work for that. Even if you want to have a patavi of a Brahma being, we have to develop the jhanas. Even to have a human body, it means to have a human life, we have to abstain from evil deeds and good deeds. So it is gain with some effort. So that effort is not considered as a bliss because you have to work for that. So working for something is not considered as something blissful or pleasant in the world. So therefore, in order to gain it, in order to maintain it, this patavi causes lots of suffering, lots of hardship. And also if we are attached, now for instance, people are attached to our, we are attached to our bodies. So our body is constituted with four great elements, patavi, apo, tejo and vayu. So when we are attached to our bodies, indirectly we are attached to our hardness, cohesion, heat and this balding nature. So one day this body would get old, it would decay and completely get destroyed or vanishes. So when we see the signs of death, when we see the decaying of our body, it gives us lots of pain, mental and physical pain. So therefore, these four great elements, or specifically patavi, gives lots of suffering to the person, or conventionally to the person or to the mind it is related to. So if we talk about in the ultimate sense, patavi brings lots of suffering to the mind it is related to, and also to the in terms of physical or mental. In conventionally we say it brings lots of hardship to the person to whom it belongs to. So whatever way patavi causes suffering for the arising of mental and physical suffering. So that nature is related to patavi. Dukkha lakkana, that nature is called dukkha lakkana, the nature of bringing suffering. We are not talking about the suffering itself. We are not talking about the reality itself. So if we make it more clearer. Now this is patavi, for instance. So it's better, we can take another thing called vedana. Right? It's much clearer. Vedana is the feeling or tasting the flavor of an object. We really admire the blissful feeling. So we'll write it as sukha vedana. The blissful feeling, right? This is what we long mostly to gain, the happy feeling, the pleasant feeling. So because as long as sukha vedana is there, because of it, mental suffering and physical suffering is inevitable. If we wish for a pleasant feeling, for instance, if you want to have a good pleasant taste of a specific food, we have to have money for that. Otherwise, we are unable to buy that food. For example, if you think about a pizza, if someone is attracted to pizza, so it's he or she has to buy that food to have that pleasant feeling in his tongue. For that, to earn that money, you have to work for that. So there should be occupation or a job. To get a good job, you have to study for many years. So the pleasant feeling that we gain through eating a pizza is earned with lots of hardship, starting from the young ages. Every effort that we put to study, to gain a good job, to work hard, to earn money, all gives us this pleasant feeling. So this pleasant feeling of having a nice tasty food is backed with lot of effort. So that's why sukha vedana, before it arising or after its arising, whatever, even if it's put in this way, the mental suffering and the physical suffering, it causes, the sukha vedana causes, through this mental and physical suffering, the sukha vedana is brought up. Then, as soon as it arises in our mouth, it vanishes. Then after some time, after a few months or maybe after a week, we all again gets that feeling to have that food. But if we don't have that money, then we would end up in suffering. Or even if we have the money, we still have to go to the shop or to order it, and there is some physical effort to be put to have it. We don't get it out of nothing. So there should be some effort to put on. And also if you know that we have the money to buy it, it means we have to continuously work to maintain our job, to get our salary. So likewise, this sukha vedana, it brings lots of suffering, mental and physical suffering. It causes the arising of mental and physical suffering. So when we say this dukkha lakkana, we are not talking about the suffering. We are not talking about the reality. Dukkha lakkana means this entire phenomenon. The pleasant feeling causes mental and physical suffering. That phenomenon is called dukkha lakkhana. We are not specifically mentioning about the suffering. We are not specifically mentioning about the reality. We are talking about how, because of a reality, certain sufferings occur. So this phenomenon is what is called dukkha lakkhana. So that's why this dukkha lakkhana is not identical with the sukha vedana. It's different. But why this dukkha lakkhana is there? It's because of this reality. So we cannot find the dukkha lakkhana apart from a reality. We cannot find these universal realities, universal characteristics apart from the realities. But they are not the reality. So dukkha lakkhana is not, for instance, if it given different vedana, a different reality. This is common to all the reality. I'm just giving some examples. But vedana is identical with tasting the flavor. Of an object. That is the sabhava lakkhana, intrinsic quality. These are universal qualities. This is the intrinsic characteristic. These are universal characteristics. They are universal characteristics. Now we come into the third characteristic, the non-selfness, the anatta lakkhana. Normally the anatta lakkhana, we can explain anatta lakkhana in various ways. When it comes to vipassana, in different stages, we have to look into the anatta in different ways. But normally, the common explanation of anatta is the uncontrollable nature of a reality. For instance, even I wish, I try to control my body, not in terms of what I do, in terms of its getting decayed or its appearance. It's out of my control. Whether I like or not, the appearance would not change. And also it would decay one day, and finally it would end up with death. So that is something that we cannot control. And also another way to say is the nature of not behaving according to our wish. The nature of not behaving or existing according to our wish. No one likes to get old. No one likes to die. Anyone would like to keep on living for a longer period. But our wish doesn't matter in the end. If the causes are prevailing, if certain sudden destructive causes come about, our bodies get decayed. So likewise, these conditioned realities do not completely behave according to our wish. They are uncontrollable. Then someone can ask a question, if we want to be born in a divine realm according to the tradition, can't we gain it through wish? Like we do wholesome deeds and we wish to become such a person, and the teachings say that with your wish, we are able to be born in such places. So that is also under some conditions. Only if we do the relevant kusalas that has the ability to take us into such a realm, only then we will be able to be born as a divine being or to get those divine luxuries. If just wishing to be born in a good place without accumulating the relevant or adequate wholesome deeds, we are not able to be born there. So therefore, what the wish does is in that whole karmic sphere, if we have enough merits, like for instance, we are able to be born in any of the six divine realms, we have such powerful merits, in such occasions, in such scenarios, with our wish, we are able to direct our birth. It means a person who has the ability, a king who is capable to go in any place as he wishes, would go into a rich man's house or a poor man's house or even to his castle without any difficulty. Why is that? Because he has the kingship, he has that power. So a person, a beggar or a poor person will be able to go into his house, but he is unable to go into the rich man's house or to a king's palace without the permission. So the reason was he didn't have the capacity. So the wish, if we don't have that relevant causes, relevant energy to be born in such places, just a mere wish is not going to accomplish that. So that's why in the karmic sphere, sometimes we may know that with our aspirations or with our wishes, we are able to be born in certain places. That is only when we have the adequate karmas to be born in such places. So a person who has abandoned karma, who is capable to be born in any of the six divine realms, in such cases, he can make his wish to be born in the realm he wishes. But he is unable to, if he has only accumulated kama vachara kusalas, like dana and sila, just because of wish, he is unable to be born in the Brahma realm. So likewise, in the karmic realm, the wish acts in under such circumstances. Not just a mere wish is unable to give us a proper or a wished, desired birth. So the anatta means the realities do not act under our wish, or they are not completely under our control. We are not talking about the acts. They are under our control. Like for instance, we have the full authority to do the good and bad deeds with ourselves. That is something else. That is called making decisions. We are talking about the nature of realities. Consciousness, it arises and cognizes an object. Even we wish that may my consciousness do not pass away, it is not going to exist or happen because of our mere wish. It would surely pass away. Even we wish may our body doesn't get decayed, may it be always young, it is not going to happen according to our wish, because as a nature of the phenomenon, a person who's born would get age, would age, and one day he would pass away. So likewise, this uncontrollable nature of a reality is called the anatta lakkhana. If we take the patavi as the analogy, right? Patavi arises and passes away, and it's no more. Even though we wish, may it not pass away, for example, we wish this to not to pass away. This wish is not going to control it, right? And we think about the suffering, dukkha vedana. Dukkha vedana is the feeling of suffering, painful feeling. We wish, may it not happen. Wishing not to happen, right? If the relevant causes are there, the relevant causes are there, this would surely happen. It's not going to act according to our wish. So even though we wish, may it not happen, the wish is not going to stop the arising of suffering. If someone has done the akusala deeds, even he wishes, may I not be born in a woeful realm after death, that wish is not going to prevent him. Because when the relevant causes are there, the suffering would happen. Even now, after gaining a human body, which is with the four great elements, I just went into the, regardless, instead of writing a body, would mention the ultimate realities. Now think about this patavi or the body. We wish may it not pass away, but it passes away when the time has ripened. So likewise, these realities are not happening according to the wish. Now what is the anatta lakkhana? Right? What is the anatta lakkhana? This is for vedana and this is for patavi. Right? So regarding patavi, what is the anatta lakkhana? Anatta lakkhana doesn't mean the wish. It doesn't refer to the patavi. It is the phenomenon which explains that patavi does not behave according to our wish. This entire thing is the anatta lakkhana. What is the anatta lakkhana of this incident? It's not the anatta lakkhana, it's not the dukkha vedana, it's not the suffering. Suffering is a reality. It's a paramatta dhamma. These causes are also paramatta dhamma, the relevant cause. For example, the akusala kamma that we have done in the past lives. Right? And our wish that may I not be born in such a realm, or may I not endure such suffering. So that is a wish. It's also a reality. Plus, maybe we can call it chanda or loba. A wish, kind of a feeling that may I not be born in such a realm. These are realities. Right? But anatta lakkhana means the happening of this. This means the dukkha vedana doesn't behave according to our wish. It behaves according to the causes. When the relevant causes are there, it would arise, and also the realities would pass away regardless of our wish. So this phenomenon is called, this nature is called anatta lakkhana. So anatta lakkhana doesn't refer to the reality, it refers to the phenomenon which the realities undergo. So therefore, anatta lakkhana, uncontrollable nature, is not identical with the reality. For example, patavi, which is hardness, right? So this is the first point that we should understand, that they are not identical with the realities. Then we have another three terminologies: anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Anicca, dukkha, and anatta. We talked about anicca lakkhana, dukkha lakkhana, and anatta lakkhana, right? They are not identical. They are not identical, right? But thing is, this anicca lakkhana and dukkha lakkhana and anatta lakkhana, you cannot find them apart from the realities. We cannot talk about anicca lakkhana without we cannot talk about the passing away of patavi without patavi. We cannot talk about the nature of vedana, bringing suffering, without vedana. So likewise, we cannot talk about the realities, talk about these universal characteristics without the realities. So these universal characteristics are related to the realities. They are connected with the realities. So these are phenomenon. So I would say these realities undergo this phenomenon. This chart was written to show that they are not identical. But we have to keep in mind, patavi undergoes the anicca lakkhana. Anicca lakkhana is a phenomenon. Patavi undergoes anicca lakkhana. What does it mean? Patavi arises and completely vanishes. So, therefore, as a result, patavi is called anicca. That's very important. So because the patavi undergoes the anicca lakkhana, it cannot exist forever. Therefore, patavi is called anicca. Anicca is a synonym for this reality. The word anicca doesn't refer to the phenomenon. The word anicca refers to the reality. What kind of a reality? A reality which undergoes this phenomenon. What is that anicca lakkhana means? It passes away, vanishes completely without leaving any remnant, having arisen, it completely vanishes away. If any reality undergoes this phenomenon, that reality has to be called anicca. So anicca is a synonym for the reality. If any reality undergoes, vedana undergoes, for example, vedana undergoes dukkha lakkhana, therefore, vedana is called dukkha, not dukkha lakkhana, dukkha. Vedana is called dukkha. Because vedana causes lots of suffering in our lives, therefore, vedana is called dukkha. It's synonymous. Vedana and dukkha is synonymous. It's not only the vedana, whatever conditioned reality can be called dukkha, because these conditioned realities causes the arising of various types of suffering. Then if we take another example, if you talk about chitta, the consciousness, since chitta undergoes the anatta lakkhana, what is anatta lakkhana? Uncontrollable nature. It is not out of our control. It happens when the causes are there and it vanishes when the time ripens. Therefore, the chitta is called anatta. Chitta is called anatta. Right? So, anatta is also synonym for the realities which have the characteristic of non-selfness, which cannot be controlled according to our wish or according to our desires. So therefore, the thing that we should know is Anicca and Anicca Lakkhana are two things. They are not the same. They don't have the same meaning. Dukkha and Dukkha Lakkhana are not the same. Anatta and Anatta Lakkhana are not the same. Anicca Lakkhana, Dukkha Lakkhana and Anatta Lakkhana. Anicca Lakkhana is the impermanence. Dukkha Lakkhana is the nature of bringing suffering. Anatta Lakkhana is the uncontrollable nature, non-selfness. If a reality undergoes or has this quality, in Pali we say Lakkhana and Lakkhana Vanta. It means if a reality has these universal characteristics, so they can be called so and so. If a reality has Anicca Lakkhana, in English I would say a reality undergoes this phenomenon, it is under this phenomenon, it surrenders to this phenomenon. If it cannot overcome this phenomenon, such a reality is called Anicca. If a reality undergoes the nature of causing suffering, if something causes the arising of suffering, if it cannot goes beyond that phenomenon, that reality is called Dukkha. If any reality is not controllable, it's under Anatta Lakkhana, it cannot overcome this phenomenon, that reality is called Anatta. So therefore, Anicca Lakkhana, Anatta Lakkhana and Anatta, Anicca Lakkhana and Anicca, Dukkha Lakkhana and Dukkha are different. Anicca Lakkhana, Dukkha Lakkhana and Anatta Lakkhana are phenomena. Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta are the realities. So therefore, when the Buddha say Rupang Dukkhang, Vedana Dukkha, very famous terms, Rupang Anicchang, Vedana Dukkha, Sanya Anatta. So what does it mean? What does this term say? It's not, it doesn't mean that the Rupang Anicchang doesn't mean Rupa passes away. So we can say the Rupa passes away, Rupa vanishes, the matter vanishes, the material vanishes. If you want to say that, we have to use another Pali sentence for that. It means the Rupa completely vanishes. Here what we are saying is, the Rupa, the materiality, is a reality which undergoes the impermanence. So that's two different things. When we say Rupang Anicchang, we are telling that the Rupa undergoes the phenomenon of Anicca Lakkhana. When we say Dukkha, Vedana Dukkha, it means Vedana is a reality which causes the suffering. So the same, now when we say Vedana Dukkha, Vedana is a reality which causes suffering. This is the correct explanation according to Theravada tradition. If someone says Vedana Dukkha, Vedana causes suffering. When you say Vedana causes suffering, we are talking about an incident which is happening. Vedana causes, in the end, someone can say they have the same meaning in terms of reality. But here we have a slight different approaches. Here it's saying Vedana is causes suffering. But in Vipassana contemplation, what we have to think is, what we have to understand is Vedana is a reality that causes the suffering. So these are two different aspects. How we look into the reality, the approaches are different. In most of the cases, many Buddhist things, now Vedana causes suffering. That is called, now when Buddha said Vedana is Dukkha, it means Vedana causes suffering. No, the approach was Vedana is a reality which causes suffering. So when it says the Rupan Dukkhang, doesn't mean the Rupa vanishes. Rupa is a reality that vanishes. The emphasis is upon the noun. There is no verb here. Because it's in the relative clause. It's not a complete sentence. So Vedana Dukkhang, Vedana Dukkha, Vedana is a reality. So it should be written in the be verb. So all these explanations are in be verb. So when we contemplate in Vipassana, when we contemplate Rupa is Anicca, we are considering Rupa is a reality which is impermanent. It's not that the Rupa is, we can say Rupa is impermanent. That is okay. Rupa is impermanent, or Rupa is a reality which is impermanent. Vedana is a reality which brings suffering. It's not that the rupa passes away. It's a something, it's a phenomenon. When we contemplate rupa passes away, we are focusing on a phenomenon. We are not focusing on the reality. In vipassana, meditation, when we come to the udayavaya jnana, it clearly says, sometimes you have to focus on the phenomenon. Rupa arises and passes away. At that time, your focus is anicca lakkhana. And then after contemplating this phenomenon, you have to recontemplate. Recontemplate rupang anicchang. Rupa is a reality that passes away. At that time, the focus is on the reality itself, not on the phenomenon. In vipassana meditation, the real eradication of defilement, the suppression of defilements happens when we focus on the reality, not on the phenomenon. Focusing on the phenomenon is important because without focusing on the phenomenon, you cannot understand the natures of reality. So therefore, in the vipassana meditation, we clearly define or differentiate these two manners, focusing on the phenomenon, focusing on the reality. So in the higher levels of vipassana, normally just when we go in the vipassana meditation from step by step, we have to focus on the realities more and more. But time to time, we do have to understand the phenomenon, why they are passing away. If you are just focusing on the passing away, it's not going to eradicate the defilements. For example, analogy is given. For example, there is a ball for monks, begging ball, like we call patra. A monk comes and to a shop and finds a nice begging ball, and he finds it attractive, and he tells to his kapya or the attendant that he wants to buy this, he wants to have it. But later on, just before buying, he finds that there are three cracks in this ball. There are three cracks in this ball. Then the monk lost the interest in buying it. There was a ball and there were three cracks. After seeing the three cracks, he gave up the desire to buy it. Before seeing the cracks, he was attached for a thing that he got attached to the ball, for example. He got attached to the ball. Now, for another good analogy would be a car, right? A car. Someone would like to buy a car. Then, finally, he found three defects in the car. The monk got attached to the ball, and he found that there are three cracks. A person was interested in a car, and later he found that there are three problems in the car. Now think, he got detached before he got attached to the car. The monk got attached to the ball. But then seeing the cracks, he got detached. From which did he got detached? Did he detach from the cracks or detach from the ball? Did the person got detached from the cracks or detached from the car? It is the car that he got detached. Because he got attached to the car and he got detached from the car. The same way the monk was attracted to the ball, seeing the defects, he got detached from the ball. So likewise, these car and the ball are like the reality. Patavi apo tejo, chitta chetasika rupa. These phenomenon, the anicca lakkana, dukkha lakkana, are like the cracks. Because these realities undergo this phenomenon. So when we see the phenomenon, we get to understand these realities are out of our control. They are not permanent. They cause lots of suffering. So then we get detached from the reality, not from the phenomenon. So that's why in the vipassana contemplation, we clearly, in all the vipassana is focusing on the reality, not on the phenomenon. But knowing the phenomenon is important. Otherwise, without knowing the phenomenon, you cannot understand the reality. But the real detachment, the real suppression of defilements happens when we focus on the reality, considering these realities as things that undergo this unbeneficial phenomenon, anicca lakkhana, dukkha lakkhana, and anatta lakkhana. Right? So that is these are the points that I would like to emphasize. They are related to our vipassana practice. And finally, anicca and anicca lakkhana are two different things. Anicca are referring to the realities. Dukkha is referring to the realities. Anatta is referring to the reality. So they are dhamma. They are realities. Anicca lakkhana, dukkha lakkhana, anatta lakkhana are phenomena. They are dhammata. They are dhammata. Then finally, there is a common saying that we know sometimes people say the thing that doesn't change is the impermanence. Thing that in the impermanent world, thing that doesn't changes is the impermanence. So this statement, I would not say it's wrong. It is something that if we are not very clear about the difference of Dhamma and Dhammata, that's why we sometimes utter these statements. So when we say everything changes, we are talking about a phenomenon. We are talking about a phenomenon. In related to a phenomenon, we cannot talk whether a phenomenon is permanent or impermanent. Phenomenons are true or false. Phenomenons are, we have to address the phenomenons as true phenomena or false phenomena. Phenomena cannot be said as permanent or impermanent. Permanent or impermanent are related to the realities. Nirvana doesn't undergo this anicca phenomenon, anicca lakkhana phenomenon. So therefore, Nirvana becomes a permanent reality. Why is that? It doesn't have a arising, it doesn't pass away. So when we say permanent and impermanent, permanent and impermanent, we are talking about adjectives. They are realities. Permanence and impermanence are phenomena. Impermanence are phenomena. So these are reality, these are phenomena. So when we say impermanence is permanent, if someone says impermanence, we never say impermanence is permanence, right? Impermanence is permanent. Sometimes people do utter such statements. Impermanent things, for example, the thing that doesn't change, which is permanent, the permanent thing in the world is the impermanence. The things that, the nature, the phenomenon that everything passes away is permanent. So that is mixing of two things, reality with phenomena. So when we say everything passes away, it's a phenomena. Phenomena should be said as correct or false, true or false. If something undergoes such a phenomena, if something undergoes the impermanence phenomena, it's called impermanent. If something doesn't undergo the impermanence phenomena, then it's called permanent. So when we say, when we utter such statements, we have to be careful that not to mix the Dhamma and Dhammata. If someone says everything passes away, this phenomena is permanent, so it's a wrong explanation, wrong statement according to the Theravada tradition, because permanent or impermanent are not used to address the phenomena. It's used to address the realities. If any reality undergoes impermanence, it's a permanent, impermanent reality. If any reality doesn't undergo the impermanence reality, the phenomenon of impermanence, then it's a permanent reality. So if impermanence reality is a true phenomena, the phenomenon of impermanence, is a true phenomena, so it happens all the time. Upadava tathagatanam anupadava tathagatanam. Upadava anupadava. Either the Buddha appeared or not. Dhamma titi, dhamma niyamata, titavasa bhikkave. This phenomenon would truly exist. It would happen again and again. So therefore, when we use the terminologies, we also have to be careful not to mix the terminologies that are used for the realities and also for the phenomena. That would be the lecture for today. So here today we discussed about the difference between what is the three characteristics. They are phenomena. They are not the realities, but they are related to the realities. If any reality undergoes these three characteristics, we call them anicca, dukkha, anatta respectively. And then in vipassana meditation, we have to focus on the reality which undergoes such phenomena. And also, we have to see the difference, the terminologies used for the phenomena and also the realities. And finally, now I think it's clear why these anicca, dukkha, anicca lakkhana, dukkha lakkhana, anatta lakkhana was not put in the ultimate group, because they are not realities, but they are related to the realities. They cannot be found apart from the realities. So they are not concepts, they are not just things that are constructed by the mind. So therefore, they fall in between. in between the paramatta and panyati. But actually, it's better to call them phenomena, because after examining this entire thing, we would talk about phenomena and the reality separately. So that would be the lecture I would allow for the Q&A session.
And my question is about the dukkha lakkhana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here you said the dukkha lakkhana is the nature of causing suffering. So I have a little bit difficulty understanding that, because let's go to the anicca first. So anicca and adicca lakkhana. So you said that anicca is impermanent as an adjective.
Mm.
And anicca lakkhana is impermanent as the noun,
mm-hmm.
or it can be said as the nature of being impermanent,
mm.
right? So now if we go into the dukkha, dukkha, and dukkha lakkhana, the dukkha usually we understand it as a suffering, and the dukkha lakkhana here you said is the nature of causing suffering. So why is it not the nature of being suffering?
Yes, it's another good question. Yeah, so as you said, dukkha lakkhana. Because the thing is, now when we talk about the anicca lakkhana, we can find now reality was not there, it appeared and passes away. This is the reality, right? So this happens to the reality. It occurs and completely vanishes. Right? It occurs and completely vanishes. Now when we talk about the dukkha lakkhana, this is anicca lakkhana. Hell. Dukkha lakkhana. A reality causes, because of a reality, certain sufferings occur. Right? So normally there are two ways that dukkha lakkhana has been explained. The most common is this. It causes the happening of suffering. So now, so when we see that this, because of this reality, suffering occurs. Right, so in our contemplation, what we are doing is, these are completely two different realities. Suffering is a different reality. The reality, if we talk about the vedana, sukha vedana is one thing, and because of sukha vedana, dukkha vedana appears. So when we are focusing on the dukkha lakkhana of a reality, we just cannot focus on the reality itself. But when we talk about the anicca lakkhana, sukha vedana arises and passes away. We talk about sukha vedana, the reality. Sukha Vedana, SV. Here also, talk about SV. Sukha Vedana. Right? So when we contemplate about the anicca of Sukha Vedana, we can only focus on the realities and understand it arises and passes away completely. So we don't need to focus on any other reality. The reality itself shows us the true phenomenon. But when we talk about the Dukkha Lakkhana, the sukha vedana, because of sukha vedana, some other realities are happening. Some suffering. There are others, there are different realities. These suffering are different realities. So what we do in the contemplation is, now we know that because of sukha vedana, this suffering is happening. So in the first place, what we are making it, that whenever we contemplate on this sukha vedana, we suddenly remembers or contemplate on the suffering as well. So when we talk about the, when we focus on the dukkha lakkhana, it is not possible that we just focus on the reality and get the understanding. So that's why I mentioned dukkha vedana is the nature of bringing suffering. I want to emphasize, now if you ask why is that the nature of suffering, if someone has the nature of suffering. So when we say suffering, most of the cases, it goes into the, in when we talk about the Theravada tradition, suffering refers to the dukkha vedana itself. The suffering is mostly translated as dukkha vedana. So when I say, if we say the nature of suffering, which is correct, but there is a possibility that people may, the audience may think we are talking about this suffering. But actually, when we go deeper, we have to understand suffering is a completely a different reality. Sukha Vedana is a different reality. What is happening because of Sukha Vedana? Various types of sufferings are happening. So, Sukha Vedana has the nature of suffering. What is that nature of suffering? Causing the suffering to happen. So, if I just mention the nature of suffering, which is a correct translation, But there is a possibility that they may misunderstand. Either the Sukha Vedana is with suffering, or we are talking about the nature of these sufferings. That is, that to avoid that misunderstanding, that's why I gave a different definition, saying that Sukha Vedana has the nature of causing the suffering. But as you said, even if we say it has the nature of suffering, still it has the nature of bringing the suffering. So therefore, even though we use both the terminologies, that would be okay. Then this is the first way of explaining the suffering nature of Sukha Vedana. The second way of explanation, we can find this in Visuddhimagga Tika. Second way of explaining Sukha Vedana as suffering is regardless of these other realities. Sukha Vedana arises and it passes away. So this arising is obstructed. The nature, force of the speed of arising, or the nature of arising is obstructed by the phenomenon called jara, phenomenon called aging. And then it gets weakened and then it passes away. So it's always obstructed by another phenomenon called aging. The phenomenon of aging is another very big topic to discuss. The phenomenon of aging. So because of this phenomenon of aging, this Sukha Vedana is always oppressed. So it is never stable. Even during that existing period, it always affected by the aging, so it's always under some kind of a oppression by this phenomenon. That's why it decays and passes away. It never remains in one position. Even we consider there is a titi moment for Sukha Vedana. During that titi moment, it's getting weaker. It's still getting weaker. So therefore, this just focusing on a reality itself, and it's not stable, it's constantly changing. Its nature, its state is constantly changing. So focusing on that, sometimes the reality itself is called dukkha, regardless of its nature of bringing suffering. That is the second way of explaining the dukkha lakkhana. But this is the most common used in the literature. So therefore, to show that these are different realities, that's why I gave a different definition instead of saying the nature of suffering.
But maybe it's not related to the lecture then.
previous lectures, right?
No, not related to
okay.
So my question is, why can't Arupa Brahmas practice for Brahma Viharas? Because it looks to me that they can just focus on the beings without rupa, right? Because usually we say that the arupa brahmas cannot practice any meditation rupa. Objects related to or connected to rupa. But here for Brahma Viharas, then you know there are beings that doesn't have any rupa at all. So why can't arupa brahmas not practice
these
four for that case?
So it's a tough question. To be true, I have to think on this. Why is the reason? Because I think your question is, some beings doesn't have a rupa, and when we can focus on the arupa beings and practice metta, right? So if so, why can't they do it likewise? They should have the ability to practice Brahma Vihara, like in the Kamavachara level, for sure. Maybe they are obstructed of getting into a jhana only. It's like they should have the ability to practice metta, karuna, mudita, upekka in the Kamavachara chitta, for sure. I don't see any obstruction for that. Only thing is, maybe they cannot get into the jhanas because that the rupa jhanas have been already overcome while attaining the arupa jhanas. Maybe that is the reason, but we have to think on this. As you said, I also don't see any specific reason for that so far.
Actually, I was not able to completely listen to it because I was driving. Now, why we need to actually see the difference anitya dharma, anitya lakkhana? Is it because, I think you might explain this in the next lecture, I think. So you said vipassana, right? So we won't, when we do vipassana, you just mentioned that, you know, we have to think of the anicca. The Anitta Dharma, not Anitta Lakshana. Am I correct?
Yeah, Anicca.
Focus. Why is important? If you can just explain.
Later. Yeah, it's because of the defilements. Now, if you think about the defilements, where they are based on. So, for that, we have to understand the vattu, the word called vattu. The word vattu has two meanings. Vijnana vattu and kilesa vattu. Kilesa vattu and vijnana vattu. Vijnana vattu is the six bases, the eye, ear, tongue, nose, body and the heart base, which upon which the mind, the consciousness occurs. Kilesa vattu is the defilements, sorry, the objects, the realities. Realities which become the basis for the defilements. Basis here means, so the explanation should come from the reverse order. As long as our personal reality, personal means our body and the mind, not our clothes, not something that is connected to our body, and it's also something personal. For myself, the body and mind of myself. So, for me. So, the realities that are personal realities, as long as they are not fully comprehended in terms of vipassana, in terms of the four, like the vipassana practice, fully comprehension, the full comprehension happens with the arahatta magga. So as soon as we enter the arahatta magga, the comprehension is completed, then it's nothing to be comprehended anymore. So as long as the comprehension is not fulfilled, not completed, defilements are based on our realities. It means I have attachment towards my rupa, means my rupa is not completely comprehended by myself. If I have attachment towards vedana, that means my vedana, feeling in my life related to myself, is not fully comprehended. So as long as the realities are not fully comprehended, these realities become kilesa vattu, basis for the defilements. We are not talking about objects of defilements. Objects of arammana vattu, kilesa arammana. Arammana, when we say object of defilements, it can be either personal, internal, external, animate, inanimate. Even inanimate is object of kilesa. When we say kilesa vattu, vattu, kilesa vattu is always internal. It's personal. So as long as my contemplation about myself, nama and rupa, is not completed, kilesas are based on that. So then thing is, kilesas have the realities as the base. Kilesas has realities as their object. So when we think about the phenomenon, for example, anicca, arise and pass away. So this is the phenomenon. We are not talking about the reality. What is the phenomenon? As long as the causes are there, a reality would happen and naturally passes away. This is the anicca lakkhana, the phenomenon. So when we are focusing on the phenomenon, we do focus on the reality. That is for sure. Without the reality, we cannot have the phenomenon. But the attention is given to this entire thing, its absence, its arising, the causes, and its vanishing. Right? So therefore, the attention is in a broader, wider angle. But then after knowing the phenomenon, when we consider patavi as impermanent, the reality as impermanent, right? Our entire attention is given to this. But in that case also, why it is called impermanence? Because it arises due to causes and it vanishes. But the thing is, now in this contemplation, our attention is given to the entire thing. In this contemplation, our attention is specifically aimed at here, aimed at the reality itself. Since the kilesas are based on the realities, kilesas as realities as the object, for the full, for to get rid of the defilement, to attack the defilements and to completely suppress the defilements, the attention has to be more on the reality rather than the phenomenon. So a vipassana yogi at this level, when he contemplates these two, we have in Udayavya Jnana, it is explained that we have to contemplate in both the occasion, both the ways. The reality arises and passes away. Patavi arises and passes away. Vedana arises and passes away. That is contemplating on the phenomenon. Vedana causes the arising of suffering. We can even think like that. Then we are supposed to focus, because of this rising and passing, Vedana is impermanent. Vesanya is impermanent. So they say, this is the explanation given in the tradition, and it is practically, we see a difference. When you do the two contemplations, we understand that it is a slight difference in the attention, but it makes a huge difference in the contemplation, in the vipassana practice, how it affects our defilements. So in this contemplation, we are thinking Vedana is an impermanent reality. It doesn't last long. It causes lots of problems. So our focus is towards the reality itself. But when we think about it in this way, we focus on the phenomenon. It arises, passes away, it causes various suffering, and our scope of attention is much broader. So what the tradition is saying, when you focus on the rising and falling, the wisdom which focuses on the rising and falling would never see the reality as impermanent suffering and non-self. It's focusing on this phenomenon. For that, you have to get the real contemplation. Real means to understand the reality as impermanent suffering and to suppress the defilements. We have to focus on this reality itself. So even though they seems very similar, but the slight difference of the attention makes a huge difference. Why is that? We are attached to the realities. We have the realities as the object. So therefore, we have to focus on the reality to get rid of the defilements which are based on these realities.
Okay, Bhante. Thank you. I think that probably I'll have to listen to that later because I missed okay. some parts.
Okay.
Might be okay. One other quick one. So one of the questions that I had earlier is that when we say in Sinhala or in Pali, sabbe sankara anicca, sabbe sankara dukkha, sabbe dhamma anatta.
Mm-hmm.
Is it right?
Yeah, correct. Yes, correct.
So, sabbe dhamma, why not sabbe dhamma?
Sabbe sankara anatta.
Anicca.
Yes. So when we say sabbe dhamma, it includes nirvana as well. And also it includes panyati. So the word dhamma can cover everything. But sankhara covers only the conditioned realities. So nirvana is a non-self reality. Not in the sense of now, if I say nirvana is non-self, someone can easily argue. So Buddha has mentioned something which is impermanent is suffering, and something which is impermanent is suffering is non-self. So if I say nirvana is non-self, isn't nirvana is an impermanent reality or nirvana is a suffering? Someone can re-argue. But that's why I mentioned in the lecture, the non-selfness has been explained in various ways. There are various ways to explain non-selfness. So nirvana is non-self only in one aspect, not because it's impermanent or suffering. It's because it has its own intrinsic nature. That's why nirvana is impermanent. Nirvana is non-self. So therefore, the nirvana is not impermanent. Nirvana is not bringing suffering. So therefore, only the word sankhara has been used to show the impermanence and the suffering nature. But when it comes to the non-selfness, as in nirvana is also included, Buddha cannot use the word sankhara. He used the word dhamma, which is exclusive. Exhaustive classification. So it includes nirvana and also the conditioned realities. When it is say anicca and dukkha, it only includes the conditioned realities, leaving about nirvana and also panyati.
So why can't we say sabbe sankara anatta?
Then nirvana, someone can have the idea. If you say sabbe sankara anatta, it's a perfectly correct statement. But it doesn't include nirvana. Yeah, it's a correct statement.
Normally we don't.
Yeah, the Buddha has mentioned Sabbe Dhamma Anatta because Nirvana is also a non-self reality. So he wants to emphasize that even. That's why. So if someone says Sabbe Dhamma Anicca, it's a wrong statement because it includes Nirvana even. Sabbe Dhamma Dukkha is a wrong statement. Sabbe Sankhara Anatta is perfectly correct because all the conditioned realities are impermanent, non-self. But as he wants to emphasize that Nirvana is also non-self, so therefore he brought the word Sabbe Dhamma. Thank you for listening, and may this merit of discussing Dhamma support us to attain the Nirvana, and also may the Buddha Sasana last long with this wholesome deed. Buddha Sasanang Chirantittatu, Buddha Sasanang Chirantittatu, Buddha Sasanang Chirantittatu, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.